You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Y'all having fun with that, ladies and gentlemen? Are you getting what you tuned in for? Well, I hope so, because we're giving it to you from both barrels tonight, as I promised we would. I try to stay stoic, typically. But we all are human, aren't we? Some of this stuff gets to even people like me from time to time, who have eaten, lived, and breathed this stuff for a long, long time. 10 years! It'll be 10 years next month, and we're going to celebrate that, because that is an anniversary worth celebrating. Welcome, everybody, to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast. We're live every week. We are always here for you on Saturday night. It doesn't matter what's going on. Somebody's here to man the political cesspool, the CSS cesspool. It's Saturday evening, September the 13th. We're live, uncensored, red hot and rolling. Winston Smith filling in for the out-of-town Keith Alexander, who's in the other great Confederate state of Mississippi tonight. And we have Matt the Copperhead, our northern brother. He is a Copperhead, and he was one of the very first to sign up for our historic event next month. It's 10 years. We're going to celebrate it. This guy, our good friend Matt the Copperhead, was one of the very first to sign up, and we're going to have a party. We've earned it together, folks. We have suffered the arrows and the scars, and now it is time to come together and be one and reflect on all that has been accomplished over the course of the past decade that you have made possible. A few seats still remaining for that event. You've gotten a letter about it in the mail. If you are a contributor to this show, sign up. Send me an email, james@thepoliticalcesspool.org. James@thepoliticalcesspool.org, and you can join me, and you can join Matt, and you can join the other hosts. You can join people like Ingrid Zundel. Do you know Ernst Zundel? Now, there's a guy that's paid a price. His wife's going to be there. Sam Dixon. So many others. Sam Bushman. Wow. It's going to be great. Matt the Copperhead, what can we do for you tonight, my friend? I'm so glad you called.
Good evening, James and Winston. How you doing, guys? This is Matt the Copperhead from New York, live from New York. Say, James, that couldn't have come at a better time than Winston reprieved the two of us by, you know, not to follow in Scoop's example, but, you know, kind of the right thing to do. Let's drink beer.
Right. Hey, we have to have a departure from time to time.
And I definitely intend to participate, and I will be having my beer in none other than Zumstompditch's German restaurant in Glendale, Queens, and drinking a Hefeweiss out of a Das Boot, which is a German glass boot.
Das Boot.
I definitely will contribute money to the Firefighter Fund of Detroit, but I will add a caveat. I also will contribute a sum directly to our brethren and sisters in South Africa for the white squat camps.
Hey, you know, let me tell you something about this guy that's on the phone right now, ladies and gentlemen. He's been such an inspiration. One of those listeners, like so many others, who tunes in every week, but not only tunes in, but calls in, and he donates to everything. He is a working-class guy, just like me, just like probably the majority, vast majority of our audience. He's got a young family. He donates to the political cesspool. I'm not going to embarrass him by telling him how much he donates, because he donates much more than most. But he's just an inspiration to us. Donates to Eddie Miller's marathon runs. Donates to the cause that Peter Scoop Stanton has taken upon himself. If every American took seriously his charge of citizenship and responsibility like Matt the Copperhead did, we wouldn't be in this situation. And I mean that, Matt, and I love you, brother.
I love you too, guys. You know, it's what it's all about. We're all family. We're all in this together. And it's the absolute abomination of the news stories that you covered earlier in your last segment, that this is what it's all about. I'm fighting not only for my beloved family, but for your family, James, for all of the people out there in the family. We're all young, you know, middle-aged guys working class guys and we have young families, and that's what it's all about.
Well, it is, and, you know, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. We all know that quote. But at the same time, every soldier earns his furlough, and you can only stay on the front lines for so long before you have to take a weekend off. And we're going to be taking that weekend together, Matt, and I look forward to welcoming you to Memphis the right way when you come back down here next month. And, brother, I can't wait.
I can't wait for it either. It's going to be great. It will definitely be one for the books in Memphis. And afterwards, you all should start a tour group, you know, like buy a bus or something, do the cesspool tours.
Well, you know, we may get to that. We may get to that. We're going to see how it goes next month. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of Americans out there listening to this show tonight that need our voice and that appreciate our work. I know that because we get more responses and more feedback from them than we have the time to answer, but it doesn't mean that it goes unnoticed, and it certainly doesn't mean that it's unappreciated, because we love every email that we get, and we love the people that are sending them too. And we're so thankful and blessed to know that you see us as a voice for your interests in this country, and we're going to continue to fight, aren't we, Winston?
Indeed we are. I like the idea of having a cesspool bus, you know, with our faces on it. We'll call it like Cesspool Dynasty or something like that.
Yeah, get one of those old World War II era amphibian. They call them the ducks. Like you see them around in Boston and other area sport groups. You know, Keith could do it. I mean, you know, you guys could rotate the tour and play the music and go through all these neighborhoods you all talk about all the time, get the ice. Woodford Ice Place. I love that place. I was just there 2 weeks ago.
Are you talking about the snow cone place down here? Oh, yeah. It's Jerry's Snow Cone. Yeah, Jerry's Snow Cone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, I'm serious. That's something I'd get behind, no doubt.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what. Let's make stop number one be at the 10-year anniversary celebration next month in Memphis. And I'm not kidding, folks. I'm not kidding. It's a once-in-a-decade event. The last time the political cesspool had a public gathering was in January of 2005, which was 3 months after we started the show in October of 2004, and we had a packed house, standing room only. 10 years later, nearly, we're doing it again next month. If you got the letter, you are invited. We want to hear back from you now. James at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'll help you get squared up, squared off and squared away, or I'll help get you here, I guess is what I'm going to say.
James, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. And thank you to you, Winston, Keith, Eddie, Scoop. You all are granite. And God bless you, and God bless our people on this earth.
God bless you, Matt. I tell you, we couldn't do it without you, and that's not hyperbole. That's the honest to God truth, and that goes for everybody out there who contributes to this show and gives us their prayers. You're the wind in our sails. Thank you for calling in tonight, Matt. Always a pleasure. And so, Winston, with that being said, you know, it is a live show. I had something other than that planned for the first segment, but I'll tell you what, I'll scrap it for a caller like Matt anytime. When we come back, how about we do this? Let's honor another great American who didn't get the recognition he deserved this week. Chick-fil-A founder Truett Cathy. He passed away at 93 years old. He wasn't Joan Rivers, so he didn't get mentioned on the news. We're going to talk about him on the political cesspool right after this.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
You know, what we're going to do right now... Thank you, Dale Shannon and Art Frith. We're going to remember an American worth remembering. That is Truett Cathy, a Southerner, a Christian, a gentleman, who, of course, founded Chick-fil-A and turned it into a multi-billion dollar restaurant chain rooted in fine principle. But he wasn't a degenerate, so you might not have even known that he had died this week. But in one of the many emails I received, comes from Eric in Jonesboro, Georgia. He writes, James, this past week, America spent 2 or 3 days with the coverage of the death of Joan Rivers. However, the death of Chick-fil-A founder Truett Cathy was hardly mentioned. Mr. Cathy was a fine Christian that left an incredible legacy of helping others. Despite his success, he maintained a modest home in Clayton County, a southern suburb of Atlanta that was once a nice place to live before its demise due to white flight. Mr. Cathy left a successful Christian-based and family-based business model for others to follow. I figured if anyone would eulogize this admirable individual, it would be the political cesspool. Thank you for all you do. Well, Eric, you're exactly right, and we're happy to do that. Chick-fil-A obviously has been a stalwart in the culture war. They've stood fast in the wake of persecution for traditional marriage, as we all know. But, you know, even staying closed on Sunday, that silent resistance to the secular humanist America that is taking over, and the religion of political correctness that has supplanted Christianity. Truett Cathy made no bones about structuring his operation about biblical principles. Monday morning at corporate offices always began with a devotional. He said that he saw no conflict whatsoever between Christianity and good business practices. People say you can't mix business with religion. Well, he said there is no other way. He says that people appreciate you being consistent with your faith. It's a silent witness to the Lord when people go into shopping malls and everyone is bustling, and you see that Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday so people can spend time with their Savior and spend time with their families. It's the number one chicken restaurant chain in America. It's supplanted, it's surpassed Kentucky Fried Chicken. $5.5 billion is what it's worth. And any time you go to a Chick-fil-A, you see fine, upstanding young people serving you with a polite attitude, with a good work ethic. Lines are always wrapped around the building. No matter what state I'm in, no matter what Chick-fil-A I go to, the lines are wrapped around the building. And for good reason. It's a good product. And, you know, this man has gone on to his eternal reward this week. But, of course, he's not a man that would be remembered by an America such as the one we live in. But he will be remembered here in the political cesspool. Winston, your thoughts? Are you there with me, Winston?
About whom a lot can be said. Of course, we always go back to the controversy over his comments. And, you know, I was looking at those comments not long ago, and even CNN said they referred to his comments as his stand on gay marriage. And you know what? He said nothing at all about gay marriage. He just said, guilty as charged. We believe in family, the biblical definition of the family. And he left it at that. And the belligerent, militant gay community took that as an assault on gay marriage, and it was nothing of the sort. It said more about them than it said about Truett Cathy. He made one simple statement saying that they're married to their wives first and then the business. And how it became what it became is a textbook example of people looking for reasons to be offended, you know, the class of the professionally and perpetually offended. Now, this man said nothing wrong. He just simply said, this is how we live. He didn't go out and say, you know, if you're gay, you're going to hell. He said nothing like that. He didn't say anything like, if you support gay marriage, we don't want you in our restaurant. In fact, Chick-fil-A has gone out of their way to tell people anybody who comes into their restaurant as an employee or as a customer is treated with dignity and respect, and they'll get the same high-quality service. They'll be treated the same with the same courtesy. And yet this band, this satanic band of people, decided to try to make an example out of him. And really what came out of it was a whole lot of good. They failed miserably. Their protest fell flat. So, you know, God was definitely in that man's corner. And anybody else, I hate to think that they would fold under the pressure, but he didn't. He stuck to his guns. And as I said, that episode says a lot more about the people that were attacking him than it does about him. But it also says a lot more about the faithfulness of God to protect his own.
Winston, I couldn't have said it better myself. And, you know, it is a true story of a real American man. I mean, this is an all-American story. This is a guy who in 1946 opened up a very small restaurant and built it into a multi-billion dollar company that is owned and operated by his family. I mean, all of his sons were involved in the company. It's just a great story. We have a short review of the history of Chick-fil-A at our website. It was posted on September 10th at thepoliticalcesspool.org underneath the blog heading, Truett Cathy has died. But this is the kind of man that deserves to be remembered. Not the kind of degenerate entertainers that, you know, dominate the news when they die. And, you know, we could point to any one of 100 examples of those sorts. But Truett Cathy, now this was a guy that you should try to emulate in your daily dealings with your family, with your Lord, with your work, whatever. But I got a picture of him here on the website with one of his quotes that reads, one of the great things about being a Christian is the promise that God will never leave us or forsake us. Now, that got him mocked and ridiculed here in this country. But he's not being mocked and ridiculed tonight in the presence of his Savior. And so God bless you, Mr. Cathy. I'll look forward to continue to patronizing your restaurants, and thank you for what you stood for. We remember you tonight, and we wish there were many more like you in corporate America.
Well said, James.
Well, Yeah, a final word on that, Winston, before we, you know, I hate to work in, it's not a feel-good story. We're talking about the man's passing, but, you know, what he stood for is certainly feel-good. Do you have a final word on that before we go back into our standard fare, which is not quite as pleasant?
Well, James, I think it's very much a feel-good story of the best sort. Here was a man who had courage, and he had the courage of his convictions. He stood up and he took the arrows. He took the worst that the worst could give him, and he and his business came out better because of it. That's an inspiration to all of us, folks. Study what this man did and emulate it. If he can do it, anybody can do it. By the way, the exact quote, what he said back during all that controversy, we are very much supportive of the family, the biblical definition of the family unit. We are a family-owned business, a family-led business. We are married to our first wife. We give God thanks for that. And that is for what he was attacked, just simply stating, this is who we are. And, you know, I could go on and on about this, but I would eventually start saying the same things over and over again. But, no, James, it was not a feel-good story, like you might be saying, but it was the very best kind of feel-good story. Stephanie says she likes Chick-fil-A, too.
Well, Chick-fil-A, hey, it's pretty good eating, I'll tell you that. Yeah, God rest in peace. God bless you, Truett Cathy. Passed away 93 years old. He got his money worth. Passed away Monday at 1:35 a.m. on the East Coast. We thank you, sir, for your service and for your testimony. And we'll be back with more on this program right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. Before we get into our next topic, which I posted under the provocative headline at our website, how would Dracula deal with ISIS or the Islamic State or Muslims in general? I'm going to clarify some of the things. I didn't write very much about that. I'll give you a complete clarification. But first, Winston has a couple of parting shots on the Chick-fil-A story and the death of Truett Cathy, its founder. Winston?
Thanks, James. I apologize for asking for a little bit more time on this, but there was something in the back of my mind that I wanted to say about this, and I couldn't dredge it up, but I finally did. And, you know, when that was going on, Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, made a bold statement. You know, Chick-fil-A at the time was trying to build a new restaurant in, It was part of Chicago. And they wanted to build another store there. And this broke out. And there was a someone in that area of Chicago who said he didn't want the Chick-fil-A store to be built. And so Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel came out with a statement. They said, Chick-fil-A values are not Chicago values. Now, this coming from the mayor of a city where murder is an hourly event. the numbers of murders in Chicago are shocking. Every three-day weekend, after the three-day weekend, you're going to see a story about the murders in Chicago.
Which are normally black on black.
Emanuel would adopt Chick-fil-A values because maybe more people in Chicago would live. No one gets shot in Chick-fil-A. You know, people die in Rahm Emanuel land. So, you know, that's just one more example of what came out of that entire sorry episode. Rahm Emanuel, of course, made himself look like a total ass. Not hard to do. He has a lot to work with. So, there you go. My party shot there, James.
I remember him saying that at the time as well. So good point, Winston. Well, we put on the website this week, how would Dracula deal with ISIS? People have been asking, what do we think about ISIS? And I want to be consistent here. But, of course, when we talk about Dracula, we're talking about Vlad Dracul, whose father, of course, was a great defender of the Christian faith, if you know the true history of that legend. But basically what happened this week, though, that piqued my attention was that Duck Dynasty star Phil Robertson made the claim on Fox News that we need to either convert or kill ISIS. And Ramsey Paul had written this as well, and I agree that all of the great European leaders of that day and age would have agreed without a second thought. Of course, Western civilization was made possible by defeating Islam in Europe. So that much I agree with. So let me pause right there and just say that I'm not contradicting myself in 10 years of consistent ideology with regards to American foreign policy. I stand with the Buchanan recipe for foreign policy. I don't want to refight the Crusades. I think that the Crusades were necessary in terms of defending Europe from Muslim invasion, but no, I don't think we should be sending white Christians into Muslim lands to try to convert them or make them, you know, engage in war on their lands. But we should defend Europe from the Muslim invasion. And right now, Europe is being invaded by Muslims again. Unfortunately, this time, the so-called leaders of Europe are sanctioning this. They think it's a good thing. What's happening in Sweden with all the rapes of the beautiful white women in Sweden, that's a good thing. The Islamification of London and cities like that, that's a good thing, according to them. Well, hell no, it's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. So I agree that we should repel them from Europe or convert them. When, and I don't think they're going to be converted. So we need to draw the line there when they come into Europa. You know, they don't come in. They're not coming in to assimilate. They're coming in and they're raping and they're doing all of the things, the savage things that we see them doing. I mean, I don't know how many Europeans they've beheaded on European soil, but it's the same type of mentality that's coming in to our ancestral motherlands. But when it comes to Muslims, you know, the thing is, it amazes me how many of our own people seem to ignore this Muslim threat to Europe. I agree without a doubt that a bigger problem is the obvious problem that centers around the disproportionate amount of control that another group from the Middle East has over our government, our media, our schools, and our churches. The radical left-wing Zionist control of these institutions is a far greater threat than the Muslims. Leave them to their sandbox, they'll be just fine. They're not that much of a threat. But we can't let them come into Europe and manifest that type of culture, or lack thereof, in our neighborhoods. But just because we have this threat from the other group, from the Middle East, doesn't mean that Muslims are our natural friends and allies. The enemy of our enemy isn't always our friend. They've been bad news for Europe for centuries upon centuries. And so anyway, that's my take on it. I mean, certainly they should be expelled from Europe. They're not coming to assimilate. They're coming to be who they are. Just like, you know, if Mecca was in Mexico, we would have this problem. We're a little bit numb to it here in America because our problems come from the third worlders south of Texas and Arizona and California. But in Europe, they've got a real problem with Muslims. Muslims aren't our friends, folks. So, no, I think that we should go to war in their countries, but we should certainly expel them from ours. I guess that's my take on a nutshell. Winston?
Couldn't agree with you more, James. In Europe, they, as you said, they're not there to assimilate. They are there to radicalize. They're there to take over. Look at what has happened in England several days ago. A British woman was beheaded in the middle of the street in broad – no, she was in her garden, I think. But she was beheaded in broad daylight by a recent convert to Islam. And in England, again, 1,400 girls raped by Muslims. And that was done because the British politicians were afraid of being called racist or Islamophobe. Well, you know, as far as those girls ought to look at those politicians and say, okay, maybe you're not a racist, maybe you're not an Islamophobe, but you are a traitor, and you should be dealt with as a traitor. And like you, James, I don't think we should send anybody over there to try to convert them. Missions as a whole, sending white people to foreign lands, I think that's stupid. It doesn't work. They convert for as long as the goodies keep coming in, but they, by and large, it doesn't stick. There is only one way to deal with these people, and it's the only way they understand. They understand death. You've seen the videos of them lining up those poor people, those poor guys with their hands bound behind their back, and they just go down the line, putting hot lead into their skulls. That's what they understand. This is not a problem, as Obama says, that we need to manage. That is suicidal. These people need to be wiped off the face of the earth.
Well, whether or not that's true or not, we'll let our listeners decide, but I don't think it should be our people in their lands doing it, and I don't think we should be dropping bombs on them and so on and so forth. I mean, it is true. With most savages, the only thing that they respond to is death, but that's not to say that we sanction the senseless killings of them wherever we find them in Europe or America or wherever our people may live. But I think it's safe to say that we need to have a separation. And you don't have to have conflict if you're separated. If they go back to where they're from and we stay where we are and we don't have this mixing, then you can keep each other at an arm's length and you'll have some sort of peace. I mean, the greatest extent that you can have. But when you put these wildly different cultures in the same living space, you're going to have problems. When we're there, they're going to take offense. And we should take offense to that culture being brought into our lands too, because it's not been a net gain for Europe. I can tell you that, Winston.
Well, it certainly has not. The daily reports of rapes and murders and the groomings of these young girls, that's proof positive of it. They look at us as a resource, and I think a couple of weeks ago I saw a report that 8 out of every 10 Muslims in Europe are on the equivalent of welfare. They don't work. Mm-hmm. They live off the public dole.
And, that's right. We covered that.
The same thing as in Europe. The Muslims, they don't work. They get public assistance. And guess who's paying for that? It's the hardworking British people. And it's the same way here in America. We are supporting these people, and they are out to destroy us. Why are
that's
we
right.
paying for and subsidizing our own destruction?
Well, that's a great question, and it could be asked all over the lands of white people. But I'll tell you, that raping of 1,400 girls at the hand of Pakistani Muslims in Great Britain, that is a problem, folks. That is a real problem. We'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back, so stay tuned.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We're talking about the Islamification of Europe. We're talking about the savage acts of the Muslims associated with ISIS. You know, what do I think about it? I mean, obviously, it's animalistic behavior. It's all they've ever been. It's all they ever will be. But to an extent, if I'm being fair, if I'm being honest, can I understand them being upset with the fact that America is totally in the tank with Israel and has been bombing their lands for, well, all my life? I mean, yeah, I get that a little bit, but I don't excuse their behavior by any stretch of the imagination because they've been doing it for centuries. This has been their behavior for centuries. So, you know, what we need is a complete and total separation. Let's send them all back to their lands, including their cousins who run all of our institutions, and we'll let them sort it out together. And we will mind our own business in Europe. Now, that's what I think that should happen. Because let me tell you, this problem with Muslims is a tale as old as time, as they say in Beauty and the Beast. Great people were fighting it long before our time. And what happened to the race of people who produced men like Jan Sobieski and Charles Martel and King Charlemagne? You know, Europe would have ceased to exist. Would have ceased to exist hundreds of years ago, 1,000 years ago, if it hadn't have been for these men. But now, because we're so much more progressive and enlightened, we're just going to give it to them, and we're going to let our women be raped, and we're going to let our countries be taken over. We're going to bulldoze our steeples and replace them with mosques because we're more tolerant now in advance. Well, I mean, that's nonsense, people. Everybody knows that. What's sad is that, you know, outside of this radio show and a few others, and we very much pale in comparison, let me tell you. I mean, talking on the radio about these problems is a far cry from doing what Sobieski and Martel and Charlemagne and Robert E. Lee and Nathan Bedford Forrest did for our people, George Washington. And those were real white men. I mean, what we are is filthy rags compared to them, but we do the best we can with the opportunity that we have. We need more men like them because I'm telling you, you know, if this thing is extrapolated another 100 years, Europe will cease to exist. Our race will cease to exist in any sort of capacity that we know it to be now. We will be a minority like we're already a minority in New Mexico. We'll be a minority everywhere. In 100 years, if we don't stop the bleeding now, and I'm not saying we should, you know, I wish ill upon these people or I wish their death. I just want a separation from an alien culture. I want them to do well and prosper or do whatever they want to do in their own country. And I want our ancestral homelands to remain the way that they have always been, at least for as long as recorded history can remember. I want Europe to be European. I want America to be American. And listen, there wasn't an America. I don't want to hear this nonsense about the Indians. Yeah, you had squabbling tribes of squatters before civilization reached these shores in the 1600s, but there was no civilization here before then. I want America to remain American, and when I say American, you know what I mean. But Winston, I mean, a final thought on Muslims. This is Islamification of Europe. I mean, that there could be so-called white leadership in all of these European nations, particularly Scandinavia, where it's such a plague. In Sweden, the rapes, raping our women. You're going to allow that to happen? What in the hell is the matter with our men? And in Great Britain, 1,400. You know, girls raped over the last couple of decades, and the law enforcement knew about it, the government knew about it, the media knew about it, but they didn't act on it, they didn't report on it, because it's better to let these girls be raped than be called a racist. Now, we talked about that story last week. We got a blog posting about it on our website tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org if you want to read about it from Forbes magazine. But no man allows that to happen without at least dissenting verbally. At least, I mean, if you can't be a Martel, at least, if you can't defend the gates of Vienna, at least vocalize your dissent from this. Don't brush it under the rug and act like this isn't a problem. Don't be afraid of being called a name, for God's sake. Winston?
James, no matter what we do, we know they are going to call us those names. We know that. And I hate to sound childish, but, you know, sticks and stones. Call me a racist all you want. I will embrace that, you know, if it means that I'm not like you. What is happening with the Islamification of Europe and in America is nothing short of an absolute betrayal of the past and a treason to the future. I don't know what these white so-called Christian leaders in Europe think they are going to gain by turning their culture over to these Stone Age barbarians, but I'm sure it is not going to be what they think it is. They are not going to be kept on as token whites. They will be slaughtered like the rest of the whites will be. The people in England, in Rotherham, who let that go on for so long, they should receive the same fate as the perpetrators. They need to be gotten out of the country, never returned. They need to be stripped of their citizenship, their British citizenship, because they knew what was happening and they did nothing just out of sheer fear of being called a name. They wanted to save their own skin. This cannot be allowed to stand. England, America, elect people who will protect you, who will protect us from this, who will do the right thing and tell these people, you either assimilate, you become British, you become American, or you leave.
Well, I mean, what more can be said to that? And of course, again, as we say, and it doesn't need any clarification, it doesn't need an asterisk by it. I mean, we wish no ill will upon anyone, even with those with whom we have nothing in common with, those with whom we choose not to associate for any reason or no reason whatsoever. That is a God-given right to be able to choose those with whom you want to be around, right? Well, I make that choice for myself, and I don't apologize for it, but I don't wish ill upon anyone, and I wish everyone in God's humanity to find happiness and to live well and prosper, but you're not going to come into my country. You're not going to come into my ancestral homeland and make it a flop house and rape our people and cow us with name-calling and get away with it. I am going to oppose that to every extent that I can. And God has given me a great voice here on this radio program. He's allowed this show to grow, and we're thankful to him and to everyone else who has made that possible. But, you know, like Truett Cathy, we don't mince words when it comes to matters of faith. I mean, I certainly don't think that we have been the voice for the faith of our fathers like Truett Cathy has been, but certainly whenever the topic comes up, we don't deny the fact that we are Christians and we're proud of that, and you can be a Christian soldier, and Christianity isn't synonymous with being plowed over and being meek. You know, give me a Christian soldier like Stonewall Jackson. That's the kind of man I want to be, Robert E. Lee. But nevertheless, yes, we are Christians, and we don't hide that fact. We don't hide our candle under a bushel, as the good book advises us not to do. But at the same time, we are loyal members of the race that God birthed us to. And we're not going to apologize for that either. Winston, I know you only have a few minutes left, actually only about 2 minutes remaining tonight, and I appreciate you covering the first 2 hours with me this evening. We got another great hour forthcoming, folks, our third and final. But, Winston, I want to give the final word to you. Anything you want to say?
James, thanks for inviting me on. I look forward to being on next week when I can finally get my science segment on. I was going to do that today, but I found some errors in my research, and I wasn't prepared to give anything less than my very best for our loyal listeners. They deserve nothing less than our best. Been a pleasure. Great phone call. Great to hear from Scoop. Love you, brother. Folks, beer challenge. Send us your videos and make a contribution. We need it badly.
Well, that's true, and even if you don't want to drink a beer, you can send in $5 to the political cesspool in absentia, and we will still appreciate that, I promise you. And Winston, thanks so much for your service tonight. Speaking about I saw Obama address the beheadings, and there were left-wing radical leftist journalists getting beheaded, but even they don't deserve to die like that. But I saw Obama, and what he said was, the great tragedy about this is that people may believe that all Muslims behave this way. I mean, God forbid that be the takeoff that people have from having watched the savage beheading of people. His first interest was to his people. I mean, you got to give him credit for that. I mean, this is a bisexual Muslim president that we have here. So, I mean, I guess and to some extent, I have to applaud him for his first loyalty being to his people. He didn't want all Muslims to be shedding that light. But, I mean, come on. That shouldn't be what your first reaction is. Your first fear is that all Muslims are going to be painted with the same brush that ISIS is. No, your first reaction would be, you know, God bless them. I hope they find the Lord. But, you know, it's time to go home, and it's time to get them out of our neighborhoods. And that's the truth. We're going to take a break, and people with that mentality should not be allowed to stay in this country or in any part of Europe. We're going to be back with the third hour right after this.
The cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.